And I've often said, and I say it again, when I stand up here and speak what the Lord gives me, I minister myself before I minister to anybody. There's some things in my life I've had a very hard time overcoming. After I became a Christian, I've said it before, one of the main ones a lot of people have is trusting God for finances. I've had other several things in my life. When the Lord, Holy Spirit convicted me to stop smoking cigarettes, that's the hardest, one of the hardest things in my life ever had to do. I quit drugs, I quit drinking, I quit using bad language, dedicated my life to God and started going to church and smoking cigarettes. Now, I'm not sitting up here in judgment anybody, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you the same as what the Lord told me to do. And I made up every excuse there was. I'm going to do it slowly. And I'm going to use this method. I'm going to use that method. Patches, chewing gum. Only certain times of the day, and this, that, and the other. And none of them worked. Until I decided to let the Lord help. Now, if you got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 John chapter 5 and start reading verse 1. I hope I don't, but when I first started studying this, I kind of confused myself, and I don't mean to do that. If I do, I feel sure the Lord will help me explain what I'm having to say. First John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? In verse 5, the two words he in that verse refers to whosoever. Now, John is telling us there how to overcome the world. Now, if you go over, and I'm not going to ask everybody to do this, turn here, I just want to make a reference to it. We've been reading a lot of this. In Revelations, chapter 2 and verse 7, Jesus is talking to the churches. Who is in the churches? We are. Jesus says at the end of those messages, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, him that overcometh. Chapter 2 and verse 11, he that overcometh. Chapter 2 and verse 17, him that overcometh. Chapter 2 and verse 26, he that overcometh. Chapter 3 and verse 5, he that overcometh again. Chapter 3 and verse 12, him that overcometh. And again, chapter 3 and verse 21, him that overcometh. Now, John says, is telling us in this chapter that if we believe in God, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, we have overcome the world. What is Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us. John told us we've overcome the world through Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for your sin on the cross, if you believe that in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, you're born again. That's your legal standard. What I mean by that, and what Jesus was telling us in the revelations in these chapters and verses, is your actual standard, your present standard, your state of being, what you live. There's a difference between legal and being, and that's the only two words I knew to use for you using this analogy. And I came up with an illustration. If you're outside and it's raining, and you have an umbrella, you have the legal means to overcome being in the rain. You open it up and you use it. If you walk along and use it for a cane or whatever else in the rain, you're going to get wet. You have it. But if you don't use it, you're going to get wet. The same way with overcoming. We have overcoming inside of us through the Lord Jesus Christ, whether or not we decide to use it. It's the big thing in our lives. And it took me a long time. And don't get me wrong, I've had hours upon hours on my knees, different times, talking to God, and I felt like I was missing everything. I was missing it from my family, missing it at church. And thank God that, you know, I promised God whenever I give my heart to Him here in church, I wasn't ever going to leave again. I ain't going to stop in church. If something happens to this church, then God will leave me somewhere else. If something happens, there's no church to go to, then I'll seek the Father and lead me to something. I'm confident in that. But to be an overcomer in this world, you have to realize two things. Number one, like I said, John is referring to our legal standing as a born-again believer. Jesus is referring to our spiritual daily living, our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The number one thing you have to do is change how you look at Jesus. Now, Jesus came as a sacrificial Lamb of God. We read that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we see all the work He did for us. We call it work because I don't know what else to call it except it's a beautiful gift. He came to this world by virgin birth, fulfilled God's total plan to redeem all the people in the world from sin, the dominion of sin in their lives, the actual sin they committed in their lives, and the power of sin over their lives. Yeah. And anybody that commits to Him who's born again has that promise. But Jesus knows, as the Father knows, we live in a cursed world. And I know, if I myself, I figure I'm about, at least 40% of it. If I have problems, then everybody has problems. We live in a world that it's not easy sometimes to do what we're supposed to do at every step and turn we're supposed to in our life. Sometimes it's real easy. You know, if somebody presents you with a problem to do right and wrong, you do right. Jesus is with you 100% of the time. And I'll be the first one to say, I do have a relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicts me if I so much as want to throw a piece of paper out of my vehicle if I ride down the road. And there was a time I thought, Lord, why so strict? My brother Scotty says and teaches, if you can be obedient in the little, in the small thing, God knows He can trust you with anything else. And the same thing with being an overcomer. Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God. He came and did what God required asked of Him. And He did it willingly for us. Now, He is still the same man, but He's a different man. He came as a lamb. Now He is in full glory and power. He is not a lowly, meek person, man. He has all power. The Father gave Him all power in heaven, earth, and things below. I know we've all heard it, and I've got scripture we're going to get to with it too. Matter of fact, it's found in Matthew 28:18 and Ephesians 1:20-22. Let's turn to the only one we can read there. Matthew 28:18. I've talked about it all day and the right pastor there. All the scriptures I've got more to do. Verse 18, 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 20. This is Paul talking to who? Born again believers. And he says, which he wrought in Christ, and he being the Father, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Can't get any more powerful than that. If you want a description of how Jesus is, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 1. This is our Savior. I've read this before, and like Brother Scott says, until it becomes a rhema word to you, sometimes it's just words. But it's Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a trumpet. I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book, and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Pergamum, Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, verse 12, notice it said, this is John talking now, it said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like to the Son of Man, which is a title for Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the pass with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flaming fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, I want you to let your imagination run wild with you. Does that sound like the Jesus that walked on the earth and died for us before he went to heaven? He had a fleshly body just like we did. Now, I praise God for everything Lord Jesus Christ did for me. I'm like anybody else in the world, so unworthy. But in Him, I'm worthy. In Him, I'm made righteous. Now, Zach, I want you to work with me on this. It's going to be a little quick for everybody to turn to. I didn't write the scripture down. Well, Scotty probably knows where that is. It says in God's Word that as Jesus is, so as we, as He was in this world. Now, He is glorified. He's done all that the Father required of Him. God said it, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now God give Him His power and His glory. And what I just read in Revelation chapter 1, hallelujah and amen. On the inside, it just keeps growing inside me. That is what the believer has to look at, start becoming an overcomer and to stay an overcomer. Because Jesus said in the letter to the churches, all those passages I read while I go in Revelations, for each of those, he that overcometh and him that overcometh, you even get even more than Jesus has given us now. In the days and years and eternity to come. And God's Word says, like I said, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. In Him we are crucified. We find that in Galatians 2:20. says, "I am crucified with Christ," and this is Paul speaking to the church, to the born-again believers, "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." With Jesus, we are crucified with him. We are justified with him. Romans 3:24 gives that scripture. And back up and slowly keep up. Again, Paul is speaking. He said, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus." But we say we're crucified in Jesus. We're justified through Jesus. We're also sanctified. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Again, Paul is speaking. And he says, this is part of his greeting, but nevertheless, it is still powerful. He says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth." The key to that is the first few words. It says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." But we see, you're sanctified in the name of Jesus. I know this may seem a little bit boring, but I'm going through these steps to show what God's Word says. As Jesus is in this world, so are we. I have a point to make. And we're also satisfied through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and the glory and praise of God." So we're crucified, we're justified, we're sanctified, we're satisfied. Now we're starting to get to the really good part. We're ascended with him in heavenly places, which we just read. Do it again. It's Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings." And where? In heavenly places. So we're crucified through Jesus in Christ. We are crucified. We are justified. We are sanctified. We're satisfied. We're ascended. Next step is we're glorified. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Like I said, I know this a lot of flip-flopping in the word, but what the Lord gave. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." And also in verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." And that makes us the last point, complete in Christ, which is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6-10. And Paul once again writes and tells us, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, a little while ago, I'm going to stop right here. I said something about John saying we are overcomers, believing Jesus, the Son of God. And in all the first three chapters of Revelation, Jesus tells us to overcome. But there's the reason why in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That can happen real easy in this world. We are taught every service, if not at least every other service. And we're told every service. It's one thing to believe God's word. When I asked God for, I started a while back asking for a lot of things. And one of the things I asked for was enlightenment. I said, Lord, and I don't mean this the way it's going to sound, but I believe what we're taught here. Yeah, I see it come out of God's word. And I asked God, I said, if there be something that I'm hearing that's not your word, let me know. I haven't received anything that's not God's word yet. God is not talking. Therefore, I know I'm receiving God's word. So now I see that I am complete in Christ. As Jesus is in this world, so are we. Now, what I just read you in Revelation chapter 1, the description of Jesus is how we are going to be. But Jesus is so powerful that he gives us authority. The first thing you have to change to live as an overcomer and to stay in that state in your life is to know who Jesus is. Look at him differently. Yes, he's a sacrificial lamb of God. It's how you get to him. The cross is how you get to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But after you get there, Jesus is your King. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. And he is all powerful. No one has any more power than Jesus. And somebody said, well, God does. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know how many people it confuses? Even born-again believers sometimes. I got a little thing I do. If I run across something in the Word that confuses me, I start praying right there and say, Lord, help me understand that. It may take a little while, but it always helps me to understand. The world calls it a great mystery. If you read about the Christian faith in general terms and on the internet, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three different personas or beings being the same being. The world's like, man, what's the matter with you? That's crazy. Not born again. When you get born again, you're taking the first step to being overcome. When you see Jesus for who he is now, you can be an overcomer, and you can live that way. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. I have to work at it sometimes every day. Sometimes it's thoughts are running through my head that I want to speak that I don't need to speak. Sometimes to people. Sometimes just in general. Maintaining my temper. I have a very bad temper, but thank God. Let me rephrase that. I had a very bad temper. God delivered me from it. If I don't watch what I'm doing, they will shoot that bullet at me. Or he'll shoot that thought at me, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I thank God that he delivered me from it. And I rest in the fact that Jesus delivered me from it. I don't have to go back there. Just like I don't have to go back to drugs. I don't have to go back to drinking. I don't have to go back to that no hope life. Like I said the last time I was up here, if you can think about your life, the way you lived it before you were born again, I don't know about everybody else, but they just know what. I believe if I honestly wanted to backslide, I'd be so scared to death I couldn't. That's where my life was at before I gave it back to God. I started living for him. I just It was nothing. You know, I woke up every day, and then it was the same thing to go to work, and, you know, same thing every week, worse, and then, you know, do your partying or playing or whatever you do. I mean, I did motorcycles and even guitars. Everybody knows how I like guitars. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, guitars get old. Everything went. When you see Jesus for what he is, he gives you some authority. That's the second thing. You have to know who you are. Being born again gets you legal standing with God. When you stand before God and God says, well, you have this and this and this against you, Jesus steps up and says, my blood is on him. He's forgiven. That's like if you go to court and the judge tells you, you got this and this and this against you, and somebody stands up and tells the judge, no, it's all taken care of. And the judge, and he presents a legal way to do it where it's legal and standing, it's not wrong. The judge has to acknowledge that and accept that. And the Father will acknowledge and accept the Son. Therefore, he will acknowledge and accept us. Now, after you're born again, you start living your life. You put one foot in front of the other. And what is real, so simplistic, but yet so glorious, God knows. Jesus knows. When we start putting one foot in front of the other and start living our lives, he knew it was not going to be easy. People say, well, Jesus is in heaven. He don't know what it's like. Yes, he knows what it's like. He went through, in the same manner, all trials we go through. All manners of lust, which is like Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty tells us, nothing but strong desire. You know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You can put everything in those three categories, no matter what it is. Money, things, power, people, wants, immoral stuff. It all goes into those three categories. Jesus was tried and tempted. And he overcome them. And when he overcome them, he gave him the legal standing to God. Pass that authority to us. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 19. And this is Jesus talking, and he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I know he's talking to the 70 here, evangelists that he sent out, but we can still have that. The serpents and scorpions are just demons and spirits of this world, an illustration. But literally, if you use your faith, you can use it literally too. Paul did it in the book of Acts. The serpent bit him, he threw it off, nothing to it. You know why? Because Paul's faith in being an overcomer, knowing who Jesus is, what he is, and he cast his faith into that, and he didn't waver. God told him he was going to Rome, he knew there wasn't no snake bite going to stop him.
Right.
Therefore, it did. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. I want to point something out before we go there. You notice in that verse there was two words, two times the word power is used. The first word, I looked this up. You have Strong's Concordance, you can look it up. The first word power is the Greek word exousia. It means delegated authority. You know what delegated means? It means given. Second time, the word is dynamis. The Greek word is dynamis. It means powerful ability and strength. Jesus is given authority and powerful ability and strength to the 70 he's speaking of here, and also to the church, to us. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The reason I'm going to read these scriptures comes out. Jesus gave us. All that. And we're talking, Paul's writing, he's talking about Christ, Jesus Christ. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, if you read that in the Amplified Bible, it puts it real plain. Jesus defeated everything. He tells us in Revelation he has the keys of hell and death. And he delivered us from the torture and the torment of hell through for being born again. The fear of death no longer has any hold over us. And here it says that he defeated principalities and powers. We know what principalities and powers are in the spirit world. That's demons, spirits. Jesus defeated them all. Now, number one, you have to see Jesus for who he is. Number two, you have to know who you are and what authority you have. Jesus gives us other tools too. I'm going to overview this. Ephesians chapter 6. If all of us don't know this almost by memory, and I don't know every single word by memory, but I know the scriptures. We're going to start reading in verse 10. This is some more tools or armor, whichever one you want to call it, that Jesus gives us. It's finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now Jesus give us authority, and he give us fighting tools to use. He made it plain. Our adversary, the devil. Why is the devil our adversary? Because he's the prince of this world. Why is he our adversary? Because Adam and Eve inherited their power into this world. He had no power in this world to make. He got sin in this world. That's the reason the Bible says he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what happens to most Christians is they don't realize they don't look at Jesus for what he is and the power he gives us. And they don't realize the authority they got. I'll give you a little illustration. You're walking down the street, you and your family. And a person walks up with a gun and puts it to one of your loved ones' heads and says, get on the ground, what are you going to do? I'm going to get on the ground. Now, while you're there on the ground, man, I don't know what time frame, but just any time frame, what if you realize that dude ain't got no bullets in that gun? Man, what are you going to do if you land there on the ground, this person holding the gun when your family member's head and you realize he ain't got no bullets in that gun? Ain't going to be a fight. I guarantee you, any man that loves his family. The devil ain't got no bullets. None. The only power he has is the power of the seed. Power of lies. We've got everything we need. Jesus died for it and conquered. And it's right here. And all we have to do is use it. But for a lot of people, and me included, that power of deceit and lies sometimes gets too strong. And we don't use the armor God gives us. And the tools of Jesus, and the keys of the kingdom Jesus gives us. The way you keep them, you stay close to God. Stay close to Jesus. And there's only one way to do this. It's in verse 18. It's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What does perseverance mean? Perseverance, I didn't look it up, but we all know what it means. It means to be dedicated, to stay at something, be determined. I was raised in the country, and if you had somebody, you know, that you knew that just didn't give up on something, you said that, you know, that person has some determination. I don't mean this the way it sounds, but it's the truth, and it was true with me. And it didn't really stick out to me until Brother Scotty read this verse to me the first time I ever heard it. And I mean, the Holy Spirit just like hit me with it, you know, right upside the head. Anybody know what Proverbs, right off the top of your head, 10:22 says? Yep. No, that's not 10:22. I forgot what the scripture is, but the scripture is, if thy strength fail in time of adversity, thy strength is small. I read it last night in the Amplified Bible, it means you're weak. I don't mean that trying to make anybody feel bad. We all have times of weakness. But Jesus is more than powerful to get us through those times of weakness. The devil ain't got no bullets. We got all the ammunition. There's still Christians out there that don't know how to use it. One of the keys is, like I said, and what we're taught here, prayer. Study God's word. Fasting. There's another way. Also. 2 Corinthians 5:18, 19 says that we have a ministry of reconciliation through Christ because Christ reconciled us to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. The United States sends an ambassador somewhere. He is gone to another country to represent this country. We're supposed to be representing Jesus Christ. And we do these things and get them all lined up, so to speak, without the lack of a better way to put it, and keep that way and keep Jesus in his place in our life, we will be overcomers. I said something a couple of last times I was here, and I'm in it. I told God, there's a lot of things in my life, in the natural and spiritually, that I have done and started and stopped, quit. And there's a saying Brother Scotty uses quite often, and it's true. Quitters never quit, quitters never win. I didn't realize it until last night. Well, not last night, but it just hit me in the heart last night. Every time I started something in the kingdom for Jesus and quit, I might as well spit in his face if I am a prophet. I want everybody to study the words if you can find that. Now, don't say you spit in his face. But it means that Christ was crucified in vain. I'll give you that same. If Jesus died for us, and we don't accept it, we're condemned already. Okay, you accept that you're born again. What about the other part of the Bible? Where all of this authority, all of these fighting armor and tools he gives, he don't want us to sit back. as some people in the world put it, be a bench warmer or a pew warmer. Now, that don't mean you have to be involved in everything that's going on in your church. What it does mean, I feel like what I did is I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want right now out of me, except to be true to you and your word, but here I am, use me. Now, it didn't come immediate, but what I get to do standing up here is as good for me as it is anybody, if it's good for anybody else. I get to do something for the Lord. Now, that don't mean if you don't do anything for God, that you're spitting in Jesus' face. But if you don't do it, you're disobeying. If God said we are ministers of reconciliation, that means we are supposed to reconcile other people to the Lord. Bring others to Jesus. Spread the gospel. Jesus said it before he ascended into heaven. He told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. This church is doing that. And we all have a personal journey. And that journey, if we're going to be an overcomer, if we're going to be an overcomer, involves obeying what Jesus did for us and what Jesus sent to do, what God has done in our life. I want to be an overcomer. It says in Revelations, we'll see that later on. If you're an overcomer, Jesus is going to hold back and the paraphrase it, the great tribulation has come on earth when God will try all men. You want to see how bad that is? Start in chapter 5 of Revelation and read about chapter 21. God's going to judge the unsaved and the wicked. The world, the people, principalities, the powers are all going to get the wrath of God. The only people that's not going to receive the wrath of God are the overcomers. That's what he said. I didn't read that scripture because it's coming up in stuff we're studying about the churches. I want to be an overcomer. Number one, since I have turned my life over to God and I've got my eyes where I feel like I know that he wants me to at least look down that path and walk that path, my life is not perfect. I got things going on in my life that used to turn me upside down. Instead of coming to church, I'd be at home probably half asleep because I stayed up all night worrying about the problems I was having. God's got it. I know it. I'm going to make a determination to be an overcomer. Jesus expects it out of me. He died for that reason also. I want to please him. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything to add?